All right, Jed, just confirming you're with us. Just confirming, Jed, you're there with us?
I am, yes.
Very good. All righty. We are right at the top of the hour. We are set and ready to roll. Thank you so much for joining our MediaBids Power Hour, an educational opportunity for those of you in media sales, whether you sell ads in print, on your website, on your newsletter, from a digital perspective, from a print perspective, you are in the right spot. Whether you're selling, whether your circulation is free, paid, or controlled, whether you're selling ads into magazines, niche publications, newspapers, whatever that might be, again, this is the right place. We love working here together. At the beginning of all of our educational programs, we always suggest to you find a quiet spot, really be able to focus on what we're doing here, be able to make and take notes, so therefore we're transferring the knowledge. It's not an accident that there's not something on the screen. We'd simply create many-tasking and multitasking. All of the best research related to adult learning and education simply says, much like we learned in our earliest days of school, the more notes you take, the more we transfer it. We consider that the coach and coaching approach. So thank you so much for being here with us. Today we're going to be talking about ad sales. We're going to be talking about the budget window for 2021. With me is Jed with MediaBids, the founder and the CEO. Jed, I always love some opening words from you about what's moving around on the MediaBids side. I'll do a quick introduction related to Power Hour, and then we'll launch right into our topic, okay?
Great. Thanks again, Ernest. Ernest always does a great job with these teleseminars, And I always learn a lot. He brings an enormous amount of knowledge and experience to these. You know, as much as anyone I've ever spoken to. So I always gain a lot of insight into the topics that we talk about. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids. We are a company that is designed to generate revenue for publications in print. We have been at it for about 20 years, and the coronavirus age has been you know, an extremely interesting sort of 6 months from a business perspective. But it's been among the most successful for the publications that participate with us that we've ever had. It's incredible how sort of the hardship that's going on in society has sort of, you know, focused some of the consumer demand and has really sort of created a situation where publications, I think, in many respects, have hopefully the people on this call have found this as well, have found, you know, areas to be successful in the midst of sort of a general group of challenges. So again, we appreciate you all being here, look forward to discussing this topic, and I'm sure as we go, I'll have the opportunity to sort of share some of the coronavirus revelations that we've come across in the past 6 months or so. So turn it back over to Ernest.
Coronavirus revelations. That feels like from biblical times. The revelations according to the Jedster.
Yeah, right.
Oh, goodness. Thank you so much, Jed. And to each of you and all of you, Jed has the most unique view on one side, where he literally has such a view of what's moving around in the media world. The most unique view of tens of thousands of magazines, hundreds of thousands of ads, purchase millions and millions of inbound calls, leads, and prospects, and the sales and the revenue that's been generated that comes from that. It's a very, very unique space, and I always love hearing what Jed has to share from that perspective. More on that, stay tuned. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I've been in the media space since the mid-80s. Launched three of my own publications. I was a leader in a $1 billion media group, so I learned on one side what it means to be small and scrappy and bootstrapping, and really to come from dirt and grow something, and on the other side, of course, to have the enormity of a billion-dollar media group. I have the blend of big and small and get that on both sides. We launched Power 95. 1995, we've coached and guided more than 2,700 ad sales teams and leaders and companies in 14 time zones around the world. What a journey it's been over the last 25 years. Very simply, we love to help you win. We love to help you get more sales with more grace and ease, and we absolutely love to outrun, outsmart, and smoke your competitors. It's the reason why we never work with two competing companies in a space or in a market or in a sector. We're very careful related to that. Plus, our flagship, every Tuesday, we run our sales academy specifically for media professionals that dial in every single Tuesday. And if you'd like to learn more about that, just hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here, or very simply come into our website, powerhour.com. As we get started, Jed and I always have three specific goals for our working together. Number one, we hope to share and expect to share new ideas. We want to stretch and expand your thinking with new thinking and new possibilities. Number two, if there are things that you hear us talking about today that you're already doing, then we send you a virtual high five, simply meaning that that mirrors what the best practices are of media teams and professionals around the world. And then third, the serendipitous, the things you don't even expect or think about. Jed might be talking about bananas. It reminds me of pineapples, and I may go off and expand on a story. I might say something about pineapples, and it might have you thinking about bananas or apples. Whatever that might be, there is a serendipitous piece of other ideas that will ricochet around in light of what we're talking about. So let's get settled in. Today, we're talking about ad sales for the 2021 budget window, the budget selling season. I must tell all of you right out of the gate, I wish every single day was budget selling season. Why? Because it's like my birthday. I'm happy every day in budget selling season. Why? Because every media solution and possibility is on the table and I want to be tucked in. Now, to clarify, there are those of you that sell into ad agencies, that sell into larger, medium to larger companies where the budgeting process is much more rigorous. There are those of you that sell into small kinds of accounts where it's not as significant, but it's still the broad planning that you can say, you know, with some of our larger accounts or clients, this time of year they're doing some budget planning. Maybe you're doing some of that. Maybe you're just thinking about the next 30 days, you know, related to your smaller company. Let's talk about that. But you can still wrap it in because all of us are aware that there is a budget planning process that larger organizations do. Any of us who buy stock know that every public ale company has a very rigorous process, and so it's a very well-known part of the business cycle this time of year. Talking about this first point, Jed, what data and advertising trends have we been tracking it through the summer? What have we learned from these trends? What will help you and your advertising sales team forecasting your ad sales between now and the end of the year? And, Jed, that is a really loaded question because it starts with what? You know, nothing is the same. This time right. of year is generally a little pitter-patter. People get off the beach, right? Schools are getting started. We come through Labor Day. Vacations are over. This is normally an enormously busy, productive time of year. This year is filled with what? Unknowns. I'm just going to rattle through a few of these that we're navigating, right? I mean, whether we're talking about school back in session, colleges that have already opened and closed because of the COVID virus, post-Labor Day and the impact on that, upcoming winter on that side, flu season, what's going on with the stimulus plan, right? Wall Street soars while Main Street is struggling, the disconnect between Wall Street and Main Street. And lastly, the stress that we are all feeling navigating this. It has been a long haul since March for all of us, personally, professionally. Those of you who are working remote that have never done that, maybe you have a spouse working remote. Maybe you also have children underfoot at the same time. You find yourself going, dear Lord, what has changed? This is not easy. And the honest answer is it's not and has not been easy. And the need for resilience and grit during this time is one part. And on the other side is what? TLC to ourselves, good rest, good sleep, the fitness that we need, you know, those that we love and bringing our family close, all of those pieces are vital as we're navigating these particular times. Jed, any broad observations just related to so many of these unknowns that we're kind of navigating?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it really is an unprecedented time, right? And we probably will never experience anything like this again in our lifetimes. I mean, hopefully. And it's, you know, I think every industry is impacted in ways that are, you know, sometimes not obvious, whether it be supply chains or employee, you know, access to employees or whatever it may be. And then obviously, you know, different geographic areas are being impacted, you know, are being impacted differently. So I think that, you know, I think these are all sort of factors that are hard to sort of sometimes, you know, take into account, you know, how different businesses are being impacted. But I mean, one thing hasn't changed, and that is that, you know, that ultimately these, you know, most businesses are still trying to reach the same types of customers. And I think it's important to kind of keep your eyes on that, right? And keep your eyes on the fact that, you know, your readers may have slightly different needs and slightly different abilities to purchase at this moment, but they're still, you know, they're still consumers, and they're still, you know, they're still making the same type of buying decisions, which in turn, you know, impacts your advertisers. So I think that although a lot of the ways people sell and what they're selling and what they're buying has changed, I think that, you know, ultimately, you know, a lot of the core is still very similar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, you're absolutely right. And those are shifts and adjustment. And to Jed's point, sort of extracting out, we, depending on where you are around the world and around the country and in your local markets, what is the impact of COVID-19? Are you open? Are you somewhat open? Are you, you know, still struggling and closed? There are areas where we have that, where trends are rising. What are the sectors that you're working in and working with? We'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. You know, what about the seasonality coming through summertime and coming into the fall, and what is the impact on those advertisers? For example, if you're in the home improvement space, you know, during the summer and into the fall, you can, you know, you can do landscaping or you can do pools, but it gets colder and there's not a need for that. There's a seasonality component depending on who you're selling advertising to. There are just those factors, and we're all navigating those. And Jed, what I thought we'd do is take a couple of minutes here and talk a little bit about some of these advertising trends, some of which you shared when we reflect back sort of on June and July. We got to talking a little bit about some of these. We talked about home services and food related, and you know, some of the categories that you're observing from the media biz side. You want to just say a few words about that and what you're seeing and what you're observing?
Sure. I mean, we have never seen the kind of consumer demand in our 20 years like we are right now for some very specific types of products. And that, you know, we have some home service types of campaigns, things like Generac home generators and leaf filter gutter systems, and we've never seen anything like it. The amount of response that those types of products are getting, as well as, you know, many sort of senior-oriented products that are really designed to make staying in the home more feasible for seniors. So, for example, something like, you know, walk-in bathtubs or stair lifts. Those are getting more response, probably by a multiple of 10, right, than we've ever seen in 20 years. At the same time, right, you've got, and this is going to seem sort of obvious, but other sectors like vacations and travel related, you know, those have really petered out and are doing almost nothing right now as a result of, you know, what's going on in the world. So, you know, so what we've really seen is that people have sort of turned inward, focused on their homes, focused on their communities, and, you know, and sort of what's, you know, they can kind of directly control, and that's what they're spending money on. But make no mistake, I mean, they're still spending money. You know, it's not as though, you know, the, these these unemployment numbers that you read about are extremely scary and a you know a terrible situation. But for many of the consumers who we see you know responding to print ads, that doesn't seem to be as much of a factor. You know, there it really does not seem to have slowed things down at all. So you know, and as I mentioned, I mean it's the response that we're seeing now is just unbelievable in terms of you know in for those specific sectors. We you know early on in the coronavirus we were seeing also a very very large response related to food. You know food that could be you know mail order you know sort of gift type food, whether it be you know Omaha steaks or oranges or brownies or maple syrup. I mean, we ran a lot of different food type campaigns. The response to those seems to have subsided a little bit. I think as people have become sort of more familiar with the new reality, but I think that for the time being, you know, the home services are just still incredibly strong.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of our principles that we'll be sharing a little later on. We call it listen for the whisper. Each time we come together, we listen to the whisper of where those opportunities are. We've had to make pivots with our media focus, with our media teams. We've had to make some shifts in some cases with our distribution and our circulation or our alliances on the other side or digital strategies. We want all of you to know ever since this pandemic began back in March, we've been working with our media clients all over the world to shift and pivot and respond to these strategies much like you're hearing from Jed, and we'll continue to keep you posted on that side as well. I'm going to work in some of the questions, Jed, that came to us, and then we'll pause and we'll move to the second part. We're going to talk about the 19 questions to be asking related to sales and marketing strategies. But before we go there, let's just kind of work our way through. Brandon in Missouri asks, what categories are being most impacted and what marketing tactics can we do to help them recover the quickest? Well, certainly, Brandon, one of the ones that have been the most impacted is the entertainment sector, the hospitality. If you're selling ads into restaurants, hotels, bars, retail has certainly been impacted. All kinds of flight, travel, tourism, those particular areas. But then on the opposite side, the counterbalance is that we've seen people, certainly through the summer months, do what? Staycations, you know, hyper-local drive types of trips on the other side. So we've seen a bit of an uptick. What we're going to see going into the fall and into the winter is a question mark, right? Especially as it gets cold. For those of you in colder climates, as restaurants no longer have outdoor seating, for example, what will the shifts be on that side? So, Brandon, there's a bit of a wild card on that side. And that we'll continue to watch. Let's see. Chat in Indiana writes, can you sell just by using social media alone? And to be very honest, in my 30-plus years in media and ad sales, people buy from people. You need to make that connection, and just imagining that we can sort of hang on social media and expect that biz to come to us, possibly, probably not, and I wouldn't count on that as a winning business strategy from that perspective. Bill in Arizona writes, how does audience size impact media buys? Do you want to talk about that one, Jed, related to audience size?
You know, I think that audience size impacts media buys only to the extent that most of the people buying media are extremely lazy. So I think that on some level everyone is, right? But I think that if you're a media buyer and you have to plan for, you know, for 500 little buys, if someone comes along who's able to give you, you know, the exposure in the areas of, you know, 400 of those little buys, you're going to do it, even though it may not work as well, because you are, you know, because it's just so much easier. So I think that you know, very often there's a, the reason for why these large media buys happen versus smaller ones has more to do with sort of the media buyer and sort of having to wade through, you know, so many of these little proposals than it does anything else. I mean, that being said, you know, I think that most media buyers are still looking for, you know, to look good, right? And so if you can show them that your publication is going to, you know, is going to work for them, then, you know, then they would be, you know, then they need to buy it, right? I think it's a matter of sort of presenting the information in a way that's going to, you know, show them that they will be successful and that they need you more than they thought they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that your readership is going to be unique enough to buy. But I wouldn't, you know, I'm always skeptical, you know, whenever I talk to someone, and there may be examples to the contrary, but whenever I talk to large advertisers, it tends to be more about the idea of figuring out, you know, how to actually make the buys than it is whether or not they will be successful when they're comparing lots of smaller buys to sort of one large buy.
Mm-hmm.
Just to add to that, publications can do themselves a favor by sort of trying to simplify the process, right? I mean, you know, sending someone a media kit and expecting them to read it is you know, you're asking for trouble, right? Because if you expect someone to read 200 media kits to try to decide what the most effective way to spend a finite budget is, you know, it's probably not going to happen, right? But if you can sort of make a specific proposal, right, based on results that you think that they're going to get and why you think these results are going to happen, I mean, it just seems like that's a much more effective approach than just sort of sending information and hoping that it gets digested.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And Bill, we're hoping that that is helpful. Again, for those of you that are joining us, these are questions that have come in prior to our teleseminar. If you hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here, we'll continue to field your questions. We really appreciate that. Pendra in New York asks, outside of health, what categories do you see trending up? And we're hoping you've heard us share that. But she also asked part two, are you seeing an increase or decrease in programmatic ad buys? Do you want to just make a comment on that, Jed?
I mean, I think that programmatic ad buys are absolutely increasing. I mean, I think that they're a lot of ad buyers like them because it gives them an easy way to put their message in front of a lot of people. But the problem with programmatic ad buys is that, you know, it sort of comes down to whether we're talking about programmatic networks or whether we're talking about, you know, AdWords or Facebook or anything, and that is that I would push any sort of ad buyer who was leaning towards spending their budget on programmatic I would challenge them about the kind of results that they're getting, you know, and the type of sales that they're making, because ultimately that's what it all comes back to. It doesn't really matter if you can get, you know, if you can get an impression for, you know, for 2 cents, it doesn't really matter if you know, you get 1 million impressions and you're not making any sales, right? And what print has going for it more than any other medium is the close rate. I mean, on MediaBids campaigns, we are seeing an average conversion rate of about 45% right now. Right, that means that 45% of the people who call or respond to, you know, via web are actually buying, and those are numbers that no other medium can even dream of. They're not even close. They're not even within 44 points of that. Right? I mean, because when you're running programmatic ads, you're hoping for maybe 0.5% of the response becomes sales. You know, on something like AdWords, you're hoping for 1%. I mean, 1% on AdWords would be a home run, right? On Facebook, it's even less, right? TV and radio are the only mediums that can sort of compete with print, but even they are much, much less. And the reason for that is that people responding to print ads aren't making a mistake, right? They are looking at an ad. They're responding. Excuse me. They're responding at a time that's convenient to them, at a time when they have they've thought about the purchase, they've thought about the product, and they're making a response, and they have a high intention of buying or finding out more information. No other medium can compete with that. So in terms of programmatic, you can get some phenomenal deals, right? Unbelievable. But if I was an advertiser sitting there and I didn't have a lot of experience with it, I would say, well, how can I lose on this, right? But the real issue is what happens next? How many sales are you going to make out of it? And so I would challenge any advertiser who's sort of leaning in that direction to make sure that they can to ask them some pretty tough questions about, you know, how many sales are you making?
Jed, you still with us?
Yep. Did you?
Oh.
Yep. I did. Yeah. Sorry.
You said,
yeah.
How many sales are you making? And then you paused.
Yeah. No. Right. Now I just say, yeah. I mean, that was the end of my diatribe there.
Okay.
So.
Very good. Panda in New York. We're hoping that is helpful. All that Jed has shared, including a pause that we were not expecting. Fabulous. One last comment. I'm going to field this one. JR in Kentucky asks, what is the best sales presentation for construction and other home improvement categories? They are booming and don't need to advertise. JR, that is a first world problem. You are in one of those categories that are absolutely on fire, and what you have to do is work with those advertisers to show them where they are today, where the ad's going to hit, and where the results are going to follow on the other side, and help them do two things. A, do that planning when it's going to slow down, and here's part two, cherry pick. Explain to them that the stuff that does come in from those ads, if you're absolutely booming, then take your prices up another 10 or 20 or 30%. Cherry pick the most profitable biz and help them with their funnel. JR, I've done a lot of work with media groups in that home improvement space. You are in one of those categories that is rocking since the pandemic. Why? Because we did shelter in place, and we looked out the back door and said, you know, I think we should do some landscaping. Gee, I think we should do that pool once and for all. How about our patio? How about our, you know, fill in the blank? How about those new kitchen cabinets or our garages, you know, and buffing those up? So, JR, that's a wonderful category that you're in. Let's shift gears. Point number two that we said we're going to cover. What are the 19 most important questions to be asking tied to your sales and marketing strategies as a bridge between now and the end of the year? All right, so the goal of what we hope to accomplish in this next section, and then we'll field some more questions, this next section is about asking yourself, what are you doing? How would you grade yourself? A, B, C, D, F? How would you grade yourself related to these categories? 19 strategies between now and the end of the year. Number one, how closely are you measuring the activity of yourself and those that you're managing from a sales team perspective? One of the most obvious shifts is because we're not seeing advertisers face-to-face, because we're doing it from afar. We're doing it via Zoom. We're doing it by webinar. We're doing it via FaceTime. We're doing it by telephone, by email. Without having that drive time for those of you that had windshield time, or those of you that had commute time, all of that is gone. We have seen a significant uptick of those who are increasing their overall activity, hence their media sales performance. Point number one. Point number two, how closely are you tracking your close or success percentages? If you go out and give 10 presentations, are you closing 10 of 10, right? If you're not, What are you closing? If you're closing 3 of 10 and you've got two other teammates that are doing 6 of 10, ask yourself why. What is happening on that side? These are media terms and media focuses that we've utilized for 3 decades in our particular space. Number three, a bit of a sleeper. If you are closing 3 of 10 or 6 of 10, there are those you lost. And the third point here is, what are you learning the presentations that you give and the sales that you don't get on the other side? Hey, I went in, I gave a presentation, and then they showed a competitor. What did you learn in that process? All right, number four, how closely are you tracking your competitors? A little whisper. We've done an entire teleseminars about tracking competitors, but the smallest whisper is, if I were to ask you, do you have a log by competitor? date stamp by day of the things you've learned. For example, a competitor that's lost a salesperson, a competitor that's gained a salesperson, a competitor that's selling full pages for half price or giving away half pages. They're not generating results or giving away ads in their newsletter or on their website. What are you learning about your competitors? Log and track it. It's invaluable. What to do with it is the topic of other teleseminars related to that. Number five, how much role-playing are you doing? Even if you are working remote and you gather as a team, how much role-playing are you doing to practice? One of the easiest ways, taking your media kit, taking just a single page. How do you present that single page? How do you field objections? What are the many closing questions that you utilize at the end of each of those pages before you go to the next page? What might you anticipate comes back related to questions from potential advertisers? And then for those of you that are in a sales leadership perspective, how many in the classic pre-pandemic ride-alongs? What percent of your time were you helping your sales team grow and then benefiting from your wisdom? Today we do it by what? Joining a shared call or joining a shared presentation in an additional format. So five key areas related to your selling and sales perspective. Let's shift gears to your presentation. Number six, what have you upgraded in your media kit as you're planning for the budget selling season? What upgrades have you done? Right? Another opportunity for you. And by the way, a little whisper to the side of that, and what have you done looking at your competitors and how they are making and giving their presentation. Number seven, testimonials. Do you have 100 testimonials or more? Let's set the bar right where it needs to be. 100 or more at your fingertips that advertisers have told you the following. You are the best source. We love your ads. We love the results. Whatever those are, 100 testimonials is the starting point. And I want you and we want you to do what? Grade yourself on that. Number eight, a companion part to testimonials is 50-plus case studies or more. Once upon a time, we began advertising with a small ad for a small business who then grew and then grew and then grew. Once upon a time. In this case study, the story of an advertiser that came in and generated amazing results. Boom. Once upon a time, a case study example of those that used to advertise in a competitor came on board with us, noticed the difference, and could measure the results and see what we generated. Case studies. You write those. 50 or more at your fingertips. You should have them by situation, by category, by specific industries. They're an absolute must. And we've been talking about case studies for at least the last 20 years working with our media clients. It's a vital part. Number nine, the last part related to your presentation is the term leakage. There is the reality, Jed, we've talked about this before, the reality that an ad gets placed in a print magazine or on a website or in an e-newsletter, and there's the element of leakage. How do you explain leakage? I might see that ad in print, but I might just go to the web. And even though the print ad has a tracking number, if I go to the web and find your site and call you, it's not going to come through the tracking number. But you're going to notice it in the uptick of the what? Google Analytics. Or what if I go to a review site to read about your roofing company? That's not going to come through the tracking number. What about if I come into your location because I'm looking to buy a jacuzzi? That's not going to come through your tracking number. The element of leakage is vitally important. There should be an entire page in your media kit that explains leakage. It means we can count what we count. Yes, I'm going to bring you 30 calls. But if there's 30 calls, it's also likely, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree that X percent, an additional X 10 or 20 or 30 might come into your showroom? An additional 10 or 20 or 30 on top of those inbound calls that we'll track might go to the web and come in on your regular number. We're not going to track that. Would you agree to that? Great. You know, these are the components of how we explain leakage on that side. Point number 10. this falls under the category of your distribution and or circulation, whether you're free, paid, or controlled at a very high level. Number 10, your reach. What's happened to your reach this year? Has it expanded? Has it contracted? Have you shifted it tied to the pandemic? These are questions we're asking you to consider. Point 11, your readers on the other side. What's happening with your readers? What did you hear from Jed saying the uptick of inbound leads and activity and success that advertisers are enjoying is unbelievable? JR, going back to the home improvement side, the data that we've been watching all summer has been eye-popping. In some cases, double the inbound leads and activities. As measured by our tracking systems, we're seeing it. Advertisers are seeing it. It's for us to go what? Capture those numbers, tell the case stories, get the testimonials, and make our media kit and media presentation even that much stronger. Number 12, our favorite two words, I wish. What is your I wish for where you want to be next year and between now and the end of this year related to your readers, your circulation, and your visibility on the distribution side? Big opportunity there. Number 13, which is always a pause, Jed. Number 13 is your results. Jed, we sort of have a passion for the results side of the house, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of like contractually obligated to talk about the benefits of results, but it's a huge selling tool. I can't imagine selling without it. I feel as though, you know, being able to give advertisers in today's world, you know, some sort of insight into the type of results that you expect them to get is perhaps one of the most important sales tools that exists, because you can't compete with any of the other mediums that are out there unless you're able to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And just to pause, Jed could speak for 6 minutes or six more days about the passion about this, okay? And, Jed, I love your passion because it matches ours. It is everything. So while we're going to take 60 seconds here and talk about results, make no mistake, this is out of Indiana Jones, the Ark of the Covenant. This is the buried treasure. You have to have verifiable results. There's no way around it. Lastly, number 14, your cost per lead, your cost per dealer per sale. Please know those numbers. I was taught this 32 years ago by Betsy Keller in San Diego, who spent 2.5 hours walking me through. Jed, I've shared the story before. I'm sitting in her office. Out she pulls out her data, her calls, her cost per lead, her cost per close. Blew me away. Gave me a PhD and an MBA in advertising sales 3 decades ago, and nothing's ever changed. It still matters. The quality of the leads coming in and then the conversion from a lead to a sale, and even the profitability. We've done other teleseminars on this. And for those of you who are part of our Power Hour Sales Academies on Tuesday, you know the granularity. We work on this because it is so important. Let's shift gears. On the marketing side, there are marketing components to the way you go out into the media world. Questions to consider. Your e-newsletter. How many newsletters are going out this year? How many have already gone out? The number should be 12 at least, once a month. The number should actually be every 3 weeks, 18. Some of you might even have weekly, which is 52. Where are you related to that? How would you grade yourself for the number of newsletters going out? And the other side, the growth of your readership. What have you done on that side? That should be on an ongoing monthly dashboard for you between here and the end of the year, setting the stage for next year. Number 16, what are you doing, depending on your audience, but if that's on the B2B side, what are you doing with your LinkedIn marketing? 700 million professionals around the world on there. How are you utilizing it? How are you maximizing it? And then your ROI on the other side. Lastly, under marketing, number 17, the world of your social media, the world of your digital footprint. If we're talking about your SEO, your Google AdWords, your Follow Me ads, what are you doing on that side? What level of engagement do you have for your Google Analytics and tracking what's happening on your website on the digital side? And all of that is good and great, but it's not wonderful until we do what? Package it up, tell the story, tuck it into a media presentation, and add that into your overall sales and selling success. It all matters. This is a circular approach, these 19 questions that bring us all the way back around. Lastly, the last 2 points to leave you with, Smart Match Alliances, the book, Jed, you know, that I wrote 13 years ago, matter more than ever. Who do we partner with to generate and drive more activity? So, for example, if you have a magazine that you focus on selling to chiropractors, a very natural Smart Match Alliances would be to focus on one of the companies that sells lots of products or services to chiropractors. You could have one that sells equipment to chiropractors, one that sells software to chiropractors, and in the next 2 weeks when you launch an educational webinar or something out into the marketplace to your chiropractors, your alliance partners will extend the similar and same invitation, which does what? Ricochets your marketing messages, increases your website visibility, increases your advertiser results, and positions you as a thought leader. Smart Match Alliances matter. Do not go it alone. There's so much more. There's natural synergies between your circulation, your readers, your results, and the alliance opportunities. And on that point, you go to find the alliance. Don't look to be found. You are an incredible alliance partner. You have a lot of value-added assets, but no alliance partner will find you. You go to them. Jed, comments or observations related to any of the 19 points before we address some of the questions that we have tied to this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're all excellent strategies. I think that, you know, just to touch on the, I was kind of vague earlier, you know, just to touch on the tracking of results based on ads. You know, what we do at MediaBiz is we use about 15,000 phone numbers a month to track individual ads, and with those numbers we can see exactly how much results are being brought in by each ad, and then we can make adjustments based on what's working and what's not, and it's always surprising. I think that for far too long, many people involved in print publications have sort of had the feeling that, you know, that the results that they were generating was sort of undefined, that it was, you know, they didn't have an awful lot of confidence in it. And I think that that's a huge mistake, because while print can't compete with the volume generated with some other mediums, you know, it can compete with the overall value. There's no question about it. So if you begin to track and you begin to look at sales, you have nothing to be concerned about there, because you will find very quickly that if you're able to show your advertisers that some of those numbers, you know, your print product is going to look very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Let's work and weave some of the questions in here, and then we'll wrap up here at the top of the hour. I'm going to start with, Keith in Mississippi, and hope you're doing okay related to the storm that's moving through. We know that's sort of in your area. Keith, you ask about competing against billboard advertising, TV advertising, radio advertising, just broadly related to those. Print runs circles around that. The easiest piece related to even a billboard or a radio, when was the last time you pulled over on the side of the road and, you know, wrote something down from a billboard? It's about branding. They're not even close to a side-by-side competitor on that side. If that's a struggle for you, respectfully, ping us and we can talk in more, you know, granularity regarding that. Let's see. Also, Joan in Florida asks, any tips for selling your weekly community newspaper advertising against shared mail? That's an interesting piece, Joan. On that particular part, we recommend a side-by-side comparison that really fleshes out the strengths of what you're doing, the strengths of what they're doing. Look closely at your CPM, your cost per thousand. Look closely at your ad results. Tie in your testimonials. Tie in your case studies. You need all of those things, but it's mainly to address who you're competing with, how they are doing, and making observations on that. Related to direct mail, some categories work better than others. Jed, you may have a comment on that, but not all do, and I would be paying attention to what they're doing on that side. Do you want to make a comment regarding Joan in Florida, regarding newspaper ads versus shared mail, Jed?
I mean, shared mail tends to be really expensive, you know. So,
right.
I mean, I think that there's, you know, there's obvious, you know, obvious advantages to it. But again, like I think that if you can show an advertiser that you're going to generate revenue for them, you know, it's very often it's not an either or type of decision that an advertiser is making. If if running an ad with you is going to make them money, then God bless them. If they want to use shared mail too, then that's great. If it's working for them, then, you know, maybe it's not sort of a direct competitor to, you know, to a finite budget. Maybe it's just sort of showing them that an investment in your publication isn't as much of a risk as maybe they thought it was. And so, therefore, they feel more comfortable spending money with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You bet. Joan, we're hoping that's helpful. If you'd like some additional conversation, just ping us regarding that. Marion in Pennsylvania asks, why advertise now during COVID? Well, we're hoping in the beginning of our teleseminar we address that, the seasonality piece, the sector piece. But judging from your website and the work you're doing, your particular work is really needed, and we would, you know, it's for us is more a case of the value add of what you do and what you generate. So, Marion, thank you for your question regarding that. Let's see, Barbara. Barbara in Washington asks, what is the best method to show the value of your readership in print and online and be part of the advertising mix, the best value of the readership? Well, the first piece, Barbara, on that is I would ask, when was the last time you did a readership survey, readership study? What do you know about your readers? What else do you know about the sector? So, for example, if we were selling ads for snowmobile riders, we would have our own reader survey, and then we would draw another industry surveys that were being done by the snowmobile industry. So we would overlay the two and generate white papers, put on educational programs related to that, have our case studies telling the examples of what we have learned from readers and the way that they have such a passion for the snowmobile stories and the equipment and so forth. So it's really, honestly, to show the value of your readership, it's what we're doing to convey that. And then, obviously, on the other side, the results that we're driving from that perspective. So if it's to be, it's up to me from that perspective. Let's see. One more I want to field. Angie, your question is one of the most interesting. Angie in Colorado asks, readers of our magazine can earn continuing educational credits. Now, Jed, I have to be honest. I've never seen a question like this. I was like, I love that. If I can get continuing ed credits by reading the magazine, that is a riveting way, Angie, to be able to drive readership. On the other side, advertising exposure and exposure for that. And then you also said, I've read Gen Z is moving to print. What is the current trends on that? Bottom line is, whether it's print or digital, it doesn't matter. If you're providing educational credits on that side, that is a very intriguing model. And it basically means, Jed, if I'm reading their magazine and doing something, I imagine on the other side of that, go to the website and put the word code word orange, and you get credit because you obviously read the article and orange was embedded in there. Jed, that's a really interesting model. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Only for industry specific publications.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, if maybe you can earn a continuing education credit for teachers, right? If you read
mm-hmm.
read a magazine each time. But yeah, that's awesome. That's great. It really, anything that sort of, binds your readers to you like that, right, is a hugely valuable thing for the publication and also for advertisers.
It's really fascinating. Angie, I think everybody else joining our teleseminar just hung up because they don't have that, and they're really upset they don't have what you have. You have a great story. One more I want to address. Michael, also in Florida, asks, what are good replies to advertisers spooked by current realities, pandemic, election year, unemployment, and such? Michael, judging from your particular publication and your website, looking at that, you need to pivot to the categories you heard us talking about at the beginning of this teleseminar. Listen to the whisper, pivot to the categories that are rocking. Specifically, home improvement would be one related to your pivot, and we looked at your website as prep for this. We would ask you to consider that piece. There are certain industries and sectors that have been more hit. Pivot, given your flexibility of your particular publication and website, and that would benefit you greatly from that. Okay? All right, let's pause. We'll field a few more questions before the top of the hour. Thank you so much for those of you that are sending them to us, and just know that we're very diligent. We love your questions, and it sparks conversation that, you know, that we weren't planning, and stories and examples that we weren't intending to cover. So thank you. Point number three, the last point here before we get to the top of the hour, the upcoming 2021 budget selling window and the opportunities that we have going forward. And here's what we can tell you. Generally, budget selling season, especially in the prior 2 and 3 and 4 years of the economic positive growth we've had, budget selling season is like squeezing the juice from a watermelon. And this year, it's like squeezing the juice, not for even from a grape, but it's like squeezing the juice from a raisin. So let me just say it to all of you and for us to convey to you, it's a tough window right now. For all businesses, all of our clients are working harder than they ever had. They're working smarter. They're deploying the strategies that we're talking about. They're staying current with their competitors. They're staying current with media trends. They're pivoting where necessary, much like the example for Michael in Florida. And all of the 19 points, press those up against your own internal grading system and keep challenging yourself. You know, media sales are like the links of a chain that holds a boat anchor. Every single chain matters. If you think you can deploy 15 of the 19, please don't. You think you can deliver 17 of the 19, please don't. Every single one of those matter. And certainly delivering or working on 9 of the 19 positively absolutely won't get you there. But every single chain, in my earliest days, Jed, working in media selling and sales, I was responsible for markets all the way, all up and down the West Coast. I had 100-plus ad salespeople that worked for me. And I would drop in and out of a market, be in and out of Phoenix or in and out of Las Vegas or up and down out of San Francisco or Seattle or Portland. It didn't matter where I was. I went right back to the 19. I went right back to, and where are we with this? Got that, Ernest. Where are we with this? Got that. Where are we with this? And they were like, we haven't updated that. Hey, hang on. How come you haven't updated? Well, no. We got to bolt that back in. How about this next point? Well, we're not doing that at all. I'm like, well, wait a minute. But how come our growth tailed off? How come we're not driving our sales? Hang on. Let's go back and take a look at the lost sales. Wait a minute. How come we're losing, how come we're losing 3 of 10? We used to only lose 1 of 10. There's a raising of the bar, and there's an element of excellence, and that's always required of media sales, unrelated to a pandemic. In light of the pandemic, we cannot afford to miss a toothpick or an eyelash in our selling, sales, marketing, distribution, circulation, or digital strategy. It all matters, all right? We're also going to encourage you to be nimble and listen to the whisper, a reoccurring theme that you've heard here from Jed and myself. Watch where you're pivoting. Watch what needs to be shifted. As you make a shift and you see the response of the advertisers and you see the advertisers coming in, then honor what we call veins of gold. Go get more of them. Stay right there. Go get more of them from that perspective. Last but not least, we'd be negligent by not finishing up our teleseminar by talking about, again, team care, self-care. Be so aware that you are more strained and stressed than ever. Those on your team are. From a leadership perspective, those that you're guiding, this is not an easy time. You may have those who need some more flexibility in their schedule. You may have a salesperson, an ad salesperson, that may only want to or may only be able to work half-time. Be okay with that. Be more flexible. Be more compassionate. Be more giving than ever before. It matters. Your team will know it, and they'll never forget that, and they'll be grateful, right? But on the other side, also recognize that we as individuals and we as within your media companies need it more than ever from that perspective, okay? Just a couple of quick questions. Let's see, that we had not covered. Let's see, there was a quick one here I wanted to address. Angie in Colorado asks, any tips for hosting effective online events and selling sponsorships around them? We believe that will be the wave of the future going into next year. And guess what, gang? You're perfectly positioned for it. You are a media team and a media group. You can send out email invitations. You can invite people in. You can have sponsors tied to that, especially because your in-person professional organizations will not have in-person events and activities. You can be the leader of that. It's a perfect void to fill, and we want. I loved this question, Jed, because I wanted to make certain that we tucked it in here. And the art of delivering wonderful online events, the pre-work, the during work, the post-work, and the additional exposure you can give to your sponsors is a complete bundle package that you can really deliver impeccably on. Jed, any comment or observation regarding that?
I mean, I think it's a great idea. I don't know as much about it. It's just not sort of in my world. But I think that it's a strange thing, I think that in some ways it's easier now than ever to get people's attention for things like that, right? And so I think it's a great time to experiment with it and try new things, and I think it makes a lot of sense. I recently attended a virtual boat show, right? Like, you know, it can be interesting and a lot of fun. So I don't see why it wouldn't apply to, you know, something that's put on by a publication.
You're right. I attended an 8-hour symposium on media 2 weeks ago, and there was a presenter, and then they fielded questions, and they did breakout groups with the presenter and field even more intimate. There's a whole host of ways, Angie, and for all of you to think about and how to work and weave that. We have hosted in-person and virtual kinds of events for the last 3 decades. So if any of you would like more help on that or to talk about that, it's there for you. It positions you as a thought leader, and yes, you sell ads on the other side from that perspective. One additional question, back to JR in Kentucky, asks about how do I get advertisers to commit to running an ad consistently instead of just these one-off spots? JR, the first piece is, when I look at your media kit, I am certainly hoping you don't even have a 1X run. That would be the first fix. Number two, it's called merchandising your rate card, how you position your rate card that lets people or gives people an incentive to go longer term the way you've spread your rates and to go up in size or up in visibility if we're talking about your newsletter and your website. We call that merchandising your website. And if you'd like to follow up on that, just ping me a note and we'd be more than happy to address that. I think, Jed, we've done several educational teleseminars as well related to that particular topic. Okay?
Right.
All right. As we come up on the top of the hour, we're going to pause and just say thank you to each of you and all of you. Over the last 25 years, every single time we come together, we want to give you tools, templates, strategies to help you win. We have a deep passion for those of you in media ad sales. The questions that you ask us, the things that we learn from you, the challenges and opportunities that you have out there, please continue to keep us posted. Let us know what's working for you. Let us know what the struggles and challenges are. To get between now and the end of the year, we are going to work, full disclosure, harder than we've ever worked through this budget selling season and harder than we've ever worked in terms of ad sales, but it'll be worth it. And just by the fact that you're here means your competitors are not, which means you'll be winning and you'll be taking biz from them. So that is always our hopes. Lastly, MediaBits, Jed and their team, holy smokes, do they know the wonderful world of helping you drive revenue, bringing additional revenue for you, giving you nationally and branded companies to work with, and certainly they love working with publishers and publications and working together in partnership. So for those of you that already work with MediaBits, wonderful, you know what they bring, and if not, go into their website, reach out to them, speak to Jed. The kind of insight that he and his team have is a fountain of information, and they will help you immensely, and they're fabulous to work with. Lastly, come into my website, powerhour.com. We've done this for 25 years, and we love the world of media selling and sales. Jed, some closing words before we wrap up our teleseminar today.
No, thanks everyone for joining us, and thank you, Ernest, for a comprehensive look at all the factors that go into selling in the budget window. I think that I think, you know, it's nice if everyone does all of them, but even if, you know, I mean, shoot, even if you did half of them, I think you'd probably be pretty successful. So I think it was very informative.
Beautiful. All right, everybody. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next month. Take care. Keep selling, and let us know how you're doing out there. Jed, see you next month.
Okay, thanks, Ernest. Thanks, everyone. Bye.